gonna go this way. Okay. I am gonna be presenting on how to do and use a social network analysis. And I'm using the case of the Network for Healthy California to demonstrate how you could evaluate partnerships in this way and then to present what our results are. So, I am the first of three presentations about the California Nutrition Network. It's a huge program with hundreds of contractors and hundreds of different activities. So if you have questions about things that don't get covered in these three presentations, please feel free to talk to us or visit the website. This is just a small amount of the variety of work that we do. So I don't have any relationships to disclose for this project. Okay, and I'm just gonna, so that's the, whoops, hello. Okay, so one of the things that the network is, has hundreds of contractors. Some of them are local contractors, some of them are regional. And we ask them to work as partners with each other and with other agencies. Typically, partnerships are evaluated based on the satisfaction of the people who are in a coalition. There can be process measures for how the coalition is meeting. There can be assessments of outcomes that the coalitions have done, which kind of actually take a lot of time to get to. So social network analysis focuses on the social relationships between the people who are in it. So the fact that there is a relationship, it doesn't focus on how somebody feels about it or if they're dissatisfied. So you're not examining the people or the units in the partnership, but just the relationship and the pattern of the relationships and how, and I'm going to discuss some implications from those patterns. So what we wanted to do, our research questions for even taking on this project was over time California's network to establish and maintain partnerships across the state with local agencies and regions. That the idea is then, do you have a statewide program that can reach local agencies that you wouldn't otherwise be able to reach? Has collaboration between partners improved over time? And are there other unaffiliated programs within the partnerships which also expand the reach? So are there partners in your regions that are not necessarily funded to be there? So I guess some background here is that the Network for Healthy California is a FISNY-funded social marketing program, initially launched in 1999. In 2006, it was reorganized in a kind of significant way. In 2006, the various campaigns we had, which were Some for Children, Latino, African American, were all condensed into one administrative agency per region, and then the local incentive awardees, which are the local agencies, they are also part of the region, and they conduct their own activities in their own agency, which might be entirely separate from activities that the region would conduct, the regional lead. But then they would come together on relevant issues to collaborate and participate. Okay, and I just also want to clarify that the regions are granted money, and the local incentive awardees are given budgets by a matched fund. And then again, there are additional partners that are not funded. Okay, the role of the regions has actually changed quite a bit over time. In 2003, there actually became formal media and communications activities that were requested of the regions. And then again, I mentioned that it was restructured to have one lead agency in 2006. Also, since the network was first designed in 1999, is that right? Yeah. initially, as a social marketing program, there was a lot more latitude to do policy work, to do environmental work, and then that has become increasingly disallowed with the intent of focusing more on individuals through the USDA's funding requirements. As you know, it's a food stamp nutrition education program, so we want to make sure that we focus on food stamps and nutrition education. So, but that has been a change that has affected the regions over time. The data we get from this is very simple, which is one of the reasons why I like it. It's culled from the annual progress reports, and it's one question: who do you work with most often? List five agencies and the city that they're in, and that's it. So it's very easy for people to respond to. They don't have to track anything. They don't have to count anything. They just, and it's kind of a, theoretically, it can be just a top of the mind answer. Who is your impression of who are you working with most often? And because of the way the data are analyzed and interpreted, it's okay to have that not be, maybe it's not exactly true of who you're working with most often, but it's your impression of who is available to you to reach out to. So we have this from 2001 till the present. Initially we had 171 contractors. Now we have 129 that complete this, but we do a regional analysis. So our actual sample size for this study is 11. The network is broken into 11 regions, and this is a map. And actually the work in the next two topics that get discussed is it does have, it would occur within the same regional infrastructure. Okay. Let's see. Oops. Okay, so just a little bit on, about the analysis. It's kind of a different approach to a general statistics analysis or to a qualitative approach. And one of the first things you need to do is when you get your data, who did you work with most often, is you have to format it in a specific way. And then you use the data in a special software, one of which is called UCINET, which is what we use. But there are other softwares to generate. The software generates the sociograms, which we'll look at, which are the visual displays of data. And then also there are some special statistics, but they're not statistics like you would learn in a basic statistics class. They're more like indices, and they're specific to this kind of analysis, and we'll talk about those. So the first thing I said, you have to reformat your data. And usually in a data table, you have just it's a data table, you have columns across one, rows, and this is actually something called a reflexive grid, which is the line of zeros down the middle. It's a mirror on each side, so they do have to mirror each other. And then this is the kind of data format that gets sent in to this other statistics package. If someone didn't want to do all the statistics, they could still do this kind of analysis. Starting initially, they could do a visual analysis, and I'm going to show you how to do that. But basically what we have here is if you look at the orange number ones, it matches the column Eastern Sierra USD with the row from Mono County Office of Education. And then if you look at the column from Mono County Office of Education, it matches the row with Eastern Sierra USD. So in that way, it's reflexive. It's a mirror of each other. And this is actually the most time-consuming part of the whole project. So, oops. Okay, so the next part is to do, is you draw a sociogram. And you can use the software to do this. You can also, which has been done, just put it in PowerPoint and use the buttons to make a dot and then use the arrow function to draw a line extending out from that. So here's an example. If you remember, if you look in the previous slide, there was Mono County Office of Education that was reaching out to Eastern Sierra USD, and you see a line connecting those two. Let's see. And then other one, Mono County Office of Education also reached out to Partners in Community Wellness, and they reached out to Mammoth Unified or USD, which I think is Unified School District. So. Okay, so here we have Mono County Office of Education and each line radiating out to the partners that they say that they work with most often. California Rural Indian Health Board, for example, didn't report working with anybody, so there's no one reaching out from that agency. And the dots, you know, they're called nodes or actors. They're just, they are also agencies. Okay, so... Okay, these are some data assumptions, and I'm going to pass on this. I just put it in there in case anybody is really interested in the methods. There are some limitations to what we did. So the first step is you can look at it to get a descriptive result, and we looked at that. Who did our partners work with? Were there geographic areas of the state that were not included? You know, we expected to be a statewide program, but maybe are there counties that were just had no represented agencies? And are there areas that are participating, but they weren't actually reaching out to anybody? So we'll take a look at that. This is a sociogram. And the one on, Are they right? Correct. Okay, the one on the left is 2001, so that's the first one, and the one on the right is the second one. And so for each of these, it kind of, you can, it's a, you can see where the agencies are. They, they're kind of the center dot in the hub, and then they reach out. So if this was all somebody wanted to do, they could draw out these partnership networks, and you could draw it out to see what types of agencies you're working with. If you're looking to get a diversity of, you know, schools and grocery stores and Indian tribes, you know, you could use this kind of analysis to look at that and see who's there. We wanted to get a sense of the geographic coverage, which is why I kind of superimposed it onto the regional map. And it doesn't exactly line up, but it did give us a sense. And in 2001, there were three counties in this region, the Sierra Cascade region, that were represented. But they're all clustered with each other, and they're not touching each other, okay? Which means that they're fragmented, and that's a statistic that I'm going to talk about coming up. So they're not touching each other. That's bad. So you want to get some collaboration. And if you look at the one in 2006, you see that now there's six counties represented of the total. And this is one of our, this region has a lot of small counties that they do tend to share services and, you know, share a health department or something like that. So, but the other thing that we see here is that while not all of their partners are reaching everybody else, there is some line connecting every agency to another one. Okay, so this region is now unfragmented. You know, it's all connected. Okay. And if you took your data grid, your reflexive grid, and ran it through the statistics part of the program, you could run a statistic called fragmentation. And across all of the networks, so there, remember there were 11, we see that fragmentation did significantly decrease. And I'm trying to remember. And this actually is preliminary data from 2007. And so this was a statistically significant decrease, which means there's fewer subnetworks and that partners were connecting with each other. So this is good. Okay. Now, the other thing you want to look at is how did partners change? And there's two statistics we look at. One is called distance and one is called density. And the questions we're answering is, how did agencies respond to program guidance to increase collaboration, but also partner with agencies that are not otherwise connected to the network? Which, in some ways, is a little bit contradictory. You're asking the partners to reach out to two different kinds of people, of agencies. Excuse me. So, distance is not geographic distance, it's actually person distance, so from me to the next agency to the next agency. And theoretically, you want to have a shorter distance because that would be how long it takes for information to travel from one agency to another one to another one. Information or innovation or, you know, best practices, things like that. And we did have a significant decrease from 2001 to 2006 that was significant at 0.05. And actually, it's kind of hard to visually demonstrate this particular distance, so I just have the statistic in here. It doesn't make a lot of sense visually. And the other statistic that we use is density, which is the proportion of all the lines that exist to the portion of all possible lines. So, and the one on the left, you see that there are agencies reaching out to each other. And then on the right is every agency reaching out to every other possible agency. So, and that's density. Okay. And again, this is an index that measures from 0 to 1. Okay. And actually what we saw was that density dropped, which we were a little bit surprised about. You'd think that you would actually want it to increase. But if you adjust for number of partners and region size, then it explains the drop in density. So we do see that partners are reaching out to each other's more if you control for region size. because, for example, this agency is being or this region is in the same models as like Los Angeles, which has hundreds of partners, and obviously they can't all reach out to each other. So, okay, and then a decrease in density indicates that a network emphasized adding new organizations that were not otherwise connected. So, given that we have asked the regions and the local partners to include agencies that were not otherwise funded by the network, this is a good thing, and it's actually consistent with the guidance that we gave. But also, preliminary data from 2007 is that density is decreased from 2001, so there is, it's kind of a mix. Like, people are reaching out to other agencies, but they are also reaching out to similar funded partners, which is a way of sharing knowledge and hopefully reducing resources, but that's theoretical, it's not demonstrated. Okay. So in summary, just to review our research questions, were we able to establish and maintain statewide partnerships? Yes, and we saw this visually demonstrated in the partnership sociograms with the coverage that did increase. Were we able to improve collaboration in a region over time? Well, maybe. We didn't actually measure collaboration per se, and we didn't measure if collaboration actually increased production. But we measured the potential for collaboration did increase. And then finally, were otherwise unaffiliated programs included? Yes, and we saw this by the decrease in density and the increasing unaffiliated partners. So those are our research questions, but a couple things that I like about this approach is that you can get a sociogram for every single region, which gives them something very concrete to understand. You don't have to bombard someone with statistics. You could just give someone the map, the spider web, and it's a meaningful piece of data. This kind of approach also puts most of the work into the researcher or the data analyst, as opposed to putting it on to the partnerships and the partners who are already very busy doing other things that are probably more important. So that way you don't have such a burden to do the evaluation. You have one person who can help out and do it. Also, you have data that can be quantified, which is useful, and that can be replicated. So you have standardized measures over time, and it can be very powerful to show progress for things like partnership evaluations that can be kind of trying to measure sometimes and to get good results. So thank you. If there's any questions? The question was, how do you get the measure of social distance? It's actually, let me give an example. Oops. Oh, wait. Is that me? Yeah, resume. Okay. It measures the nodes. How far would information from this person, how far could it go to get through the whole network? And so it would go from to this person, and then, yeah, it's like it's not the geographic distance, it's the number of people I do would have to pass through. Okay. So that's the distance. Okay. Uh-huh. We asked the regions who were granted money, and we asked the local incentive awardees who get their money through a match, who they reach out to. We did not include anyone who was unfunded or anyone who was, if somebody was named, we didn't reach out to them and say, who do you reach out to? So because we didn't do that, what we have is called I think it's called an open network, and all that really does is restrict us a little bit in the kinds of statistics we can do. If we had reached out a few more, we could actually identify, subgroups within the network, and if anybody's acting as a leader of a subnetwork that's not actually the regional lead, you could identify those sorts of things. But we don't, somebody could do that, and it's really interesting, but we didn't do that here. Oh, actually, we assumed that all relationships were reciprocal. So if somebody got named, then we assumed, yeah, because it's kind of like if, it's not the best, if you go on a date with somebody, you're out there. There's two people, they're out on a date, whether they like it or not. but one person can easily say, I love you, and the other person might not love them back. So we assumed it was more of a date than a... than a lifelong commitment. So, questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Our next speaker is Sharon Sugarman, and she's also from the Network for a Healthy California. She's going to speak to us on direct mail marketing, a new way to empower moms, the Champions for Change Grassroots Initiative.
Red one?
No.
This side.